Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in the studio. Drew has got some other things going on today, so Dan is at the controls, but we've got you covered for the next couple of hours as we are now 8 days away from Auburn's season opening matchup against the Baylor Bears out in Waco. Both Dan and Justin will be there for the game.
That's right. We're making the call. So I'm gonna try to, or at least I'm gonna try to join the show remotely Thursday and Friday.
And I was just talking next with Ferg, probably get him on for a segment or two on Thursday as well.
Okay, so that'll be fun. Looking forward to my trip to the Brazos and seeing Auburn kick off the season. I went to Georgia last year. Haven't been to very many true road games these last couple of seasons. I had the ATG responsibilities for a while, and some of the road games were just places I've been. So I was thinking, this is one that I've never seen Waco before. Certainly never been to a game at Baylor. Don't know the next time Auburn is making a trip like this. I suppose I suppose in the postseason it could be possible if both teams have, not this year but in general, like, you know, since we're playing college football playoff games,
would be a fun basketball
on campus.
It would be a fun basketball series.
Yeah, you're right
to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so, but I think in general, like, who knows the next time Auburn plays Baylor at Baylor in football? So I'm going to try to make sure I'm there. And the people at Baylor were, after some vigorous questions, they decided to go ahead and credential me. I'm going to get a. But vigorous questions after I made a couple of typos on the. Like, I don't think put all the information in the right spots on the application.
Are you sure? You're really.
Your name is Auburn Network. You know, so it was. I'm looking forward to checking that one out and seeing what'll actually be. In an era of, you know, media not exactly traveling in droves to road games, I think a sizable Auburn contingent of
I think so too.
Of media are going to be there at the game next week.
It's a combination of some things. The fact that Auburn, you know, it's not a place where a lot of folks have been. It is Friday of Labor Day weekend. That'll make it a little easier for some folks as well. So I think there'll be a pretty good crowd. I'm gonna hang back here. Take another few days to hope the knee gets better before the home game.
I'm glad you're in the studio, Bill. It's great to have you back in here. Glad you're feeling better.
I actually got some sleep last night. I feel a whole lot better.
Jason was honored yesterday to be on the first show with Bill back in the studio. And now for the second one, we've got our good buddy from the Auburn Observer, Justin Ferguson.
Always behind Jason.
And Justin, you've
just... It's fitting.
Well,
honestly.
Jason is a leader in the.
I'm usually following Jason.
Media coverage.
In fact, next week, I'm going to be following Jason and travel. Dude, we're travel partners for this one.
He was talking about that a little yesterday.
Yeah, you're going to be following him to a barbecue restaurant Taylor recommended. Former resident of the Arlington Denton area.
There are several Auburn beat writers younger than me who are going. We're flying into Dallas, and they're staying near Jerry World in Arlington. And there's a big concert at Jerry World
weekend.
And so some folks are doing that. Jason and I are not. So Jason and I are going on a barbecue hunt, which is more our speed. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Star of stage and screen the weekend is going to have a concert there in Arlington. But I know you're going to be like you're going to be on the hunt for as you are in Texas
as always.
You're going to be on the hunt for at least one high quality barbecue meal
at least.
And maybe some Tex-Mex. Is that the plan? I think at some point
that area of Texas is a little tougher.
Waco
would be a little better than DFW in that regard. I've had some decent Tex-Mex in College Station in Bryan actually. Kind of near the same area, so you can make that work.
You'd be better if, we're playing UTEP.
Yeah.
I've got
Final Four in San Antonio. I went to the same Tex-Mex place twice. It was that good. So
Taylor, I mentioned that Taylor Bryan. That's the Auburn Media Connect for football that we've been interacting with quite a bit this preseason, as they've been willing to give us ample access these last couple of weeks to practice and to players and coaches and assist, to Hugh Freeze. I mean, it's just been wonderful. I've got a doctor friend in Waco who knows some Tex-Mex
Dr. Pepper
places. It's not Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay.
I am looking forward to.
He is from Waco.
He is from Waco,
or she. We don't know the gender identity of Dr. Pepper.
And is a doctor. Looking forward to. My trip to Texas next week and seeing and also seeing what it looks like. I mean, in general, the excitement over the opener for Auburn football, especially in a season like this.
We got a mailbag coming out tomorrow, and I wrote in the opening like for a season with this much stakes, this much pressure. All that for it to start the way it does, I think, is better. It's a whole lot better for me. I find it a lot more entertaining and interesting than starting a season with a paycheck.
I think the fans do. I mean, and if Auburn wins, it'll be great.
It'll be huge.
Yeah, I mean, even thinking to last year, right? Like, I don't know. Aside from, hey, it's cool that Auburn's keeping the money in state by playing a paycheck game, especially against an HBCU. Like, I don't know what was really accomplished with the opener Auburn played last year the week before the Cal game, right? Like, especially when it came to getting the team in position to play Cal a week later, because that was a home run derby of a football game for the Auburn offense, and a week later things were much more difficult for that same offense against a major conference opponent. So I think starting with a major conference opponent, like, we'll never know. That's one of the what ifs of last year. Like, would the Auburn Cal game have gone differently as the opener than as the second game of the season after Auburn, was able to call their shot against Alabama A&M in the first game of the season? You're not going to have that mystery this year because you're opening with that major conference opponent, and you're doing it in a spotlight where, I mean, that's the. I mean, there's Colorado Georgia Tech's going on at the same time on ESPN, but the Auburn Baylor game is. I didn't even realize that till I looked at the schedule the other day that Colorado Georgia Tech is also being played on Friday night. But that Auburn Baylor game on network TV. It's a huge moment for Hugh Freeze and for this program trying to start 2025 the right way.
Yeah, and we'll talk more. Get Justin's thoughts on fall practice. Auburn as they get ready for Baylor and scouting Baylor as well. But as we came on the air today,
literally, as incredible,
4 o'clock exactly, the SEC sends out a big release, and this is indeed big news, as the SEC is going to a 9-game conference schedule starting next year.
And for those of us, who have been talking about this for, I mean, gosh, when did Texas and Oklahoma join? Like, when
was it
announced? Rumored?
Yeah,
it was like years, before.
It's been like 5 years.
Yeah, for those of us who have been pounding the doors down and saying the 366 model is the way to go.
Yep,
we did it. And for those of you who don't know the 366 model, the 9 SEC games each year, you're going to have 3 permanent opponents. You're going to rotate the remaining 12, 6-6.
6 at a time.
Yep, 6 at a time. You will, which ensures that every SEC team will play each other within 2 years, and every SEC team will play
at
the other stadiums within 4. That is huge. Think about it. Auburn hadn't been to Tennessee since 2013. Auburn, Florida. Auburn had huge gaps between Auburn, yes. Auburn, Florida.
I don't know what other options they really had with a 9-game schedule, though. Like, what else could they have done? One and eight?
No, they had talked about doing
one and eight would have been crazy.
That's what I mean.
Because then you can't do one and eight.
Right. I mean, I suppose you could have, although this was more of a pressing issue with 8 games. Like, you could have done the Big Ten.
Let's prioritize
certain rivalry games.
That was the other one.
But even then you're goofing with the rotation. Like you guys said, the only way, unless my math is wrong,
this is the fairest way.
Fairest and only way to get it balanced.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's another way, especially if you prioritize teams playing everyone in the league over a certain period of time.
That's a conference.
I don't know another sort of way to get there. You sort of have to invent rivalry games, I think, for the 3-6-6 in the sense that you're designating.
I don't know if we're going to have everybody's three are going to be what you would consider rivals, because they have talked about using balance in the past. That was the talk with, hey, Auburn's going to keep Auburn, Alabama. Auburn's going to keep Auburn, Georgia. And then they'll probably get Vanderbilt because nobody else has to play Alabama and Georgia.
And Alabama and Georgia are in the upper half, and you try to even things out.
And that could disappoint some fans who haven't tried to fill the thing out like a Sudoku puzzle, right?
And actually get the schedule like where I've done it countless times.
I did it when it was first announced that Texas and Oklahoma were coming in.
And there are some fan bases. I know this because I did Arkansas.
Of course, I had Auburn having Bama, Georgia, and State.
I would rather see State than Vandy.
Well, I think it's probably a bottom four.
You've got to have
team
something fairer for State.
A team that depends on how you kill State if you keep them to their rivalries. Well, it depends on how big is the sample size when you're deciding top half of the league. Because here's the question: it's like you could do LSU, Tennessee, Auburn for Alabama now, because I guess using recent results, Auburn's not a top half of the SEC.
Right. And Tennessee wasn't for a while.
And they have been lately. But I remember that was when we were filling this out in the past. It's like, boy, giving Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn is going to be – but I think those are probably going to be Auburn's. I wonder what they're going to do. Knowing what I know
about the SEC and knowing what I know about the decisions that go on in that room, they are going to protect the big money eyeball TV ratings games as much as possible. And if Alabama LSU is one of those that they feel like they need to keep going, they will do it.
I think all three of those Alabama games I just mentioned are games where the TV networks would say, no, keep those on the schedule every single year. I think LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn would be opponents that they would say, yeah, Alabama should play.
Florida's fascinating to me.
All three of those games. And I think for Auburn, I would guess that if you're thinking about balancing the schedule, then you would probably look to Arkansas or Vanderbilt or Mississippi State as your third opponent.
State would be good, but I'm thinking that State,
has Auburn played Arkansas every year since 92?
Yes.
Once you break three decades, I get that you just broke
last year of that for the LSU and
Arkansas. Arkansas's got more teams that make sense too than Auburn.
State's the second most played team Auburn's faced.
That's right.
Their border schools. They're both ag schools, and there's like that has much more connection. And if you want to give them Vandy just to make it balance out, fine. That was
back when we were thinking, okay, well, one of Vanderbilt's going to get like Vanderbilt and State. One of them's going to get Auburn. One of them's going to get Alabama. I'm not so sure about that anymore because of what we just said. I think you could see Alabama being dealt.
The one that's tough for me is LSU, because it's like you can make an argument for about 7 teams for LSU. Yeah. Like they have this, they are trying to make this a big rivalry with A&M. They have Arkansas. They traditionally play Ole Miss a ton, and Florida has been their big crossover game.
Now they wouldn't mind losing Florida.
They wouldn't mind losing Florida. Like there are, and then Alabama. Bama, and it's like you have a variety of teams that make a ton of sense. I tell you, I mean, they've only been in the league for a year. LSU Texas could be an absolute like barn burner of a series if they had it. But again, the beauty of the system is even if you get that third, like okay, you don't love your three, or it's like you're going to play them anyway.
Well,
like,
the thing is, what you can also do is in 4 years, you can go back and redo it if it's not as balanced as you would like.
Without the TV ratings in front of me, if there's like a game I'm missing there, I would guess LSU gets A&M, Bama, and Arkansas.
You're going to drop Ole Miss?
It's, I, maybe you have
I,
three.
I,
maybe,
I think LSU, Ole Miss. stays before LSU Arkansas does.
Yeah, but that's that's three of the top six teams in the league that you're giving LSU as permanent opponents, or top three of the top seven based on your recent. I mean, Ole Miss is they're certainly a top half team in the last 5 years. I mean, under Kiffin.
I think you're probably going to end up seeing it over the last 10.
I think I wonder where,
because I feel like Texas and Oklahoma have more juice than them.
You probably could. I mean, and how do you factor Texas and Oklahoma in there?
Texas, Oklahoma, LSU,
teams Georgia, like and teams Alabama, like Texas and Oklahoma Florida. And A&M. Like, how do you decide, like,
Tennessee,
how much of that's do they play each other? Do they play? Yeah. No, so I think that'll be and that goes into effect. Is that 26?
Yes,
we're getting. I mean, this is so.
Yeah, Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama, Tennessee are saved.
Yep. And additionally, the SEC also saying, yes, you still have to schedule up in non-conference play. They are not getting rid of that. Now, it's a lot easier to keep that rule in when Georgia plays Tech every year, Florida plays Florida State, South Carolina, Clemson, Louisville,
a lot of Louisville, Kentucky.
They already have those built in. It's a lot easier to do it that way. But the good news is you're going to 9 games and you're going to have to play 10. So now we're getting to the point where you've got 2 paycheck games now at max, and then everything else kind of loads up.
We did it, which
I love. I think that's the way to go.
We did a segment on the Observer recently, and we probably should update it. But it was teams, major conference opponents who don't have a major conference dance partner for 2026, and there weren't very many.
No, Auburn didn't need 26. They need 27.
That's right. Who's
they need 7 and 8?
Who's on the schedule next year for
Baylor?
The Baylor return trip is 26. Yep. Okay, so then 27 is where you would need
27,
to find.
28 is where it was the UCLA series.
And we looked in, like, Arizona, I think, is one of maybe there's a couple of Big 12 teams where it's up. Like you could potentially, you know, find Auburn maybe finding a dance partner and some a somewhat exotic trip. But no, the SEC seems to have no, you know, I think that the, especially with half the leagues, you know, seemingly half the league playing a rivalry game against, or a big chunk of the league playing a rivalry game against a major conference opponent, they're going to make everyone stick to that, even with 9 conference games.
I also think that this is also a step toward what we've talked about a little bit, the Big Ten hinting at doing away with conference championship games. I think this is by balancing.
Oh, I think that's happening.
Well, we don't know how big the playoff is in 26, do we?
But I think there's been a lot of buzz, I think, lately about how are we going to be able to do this regardless of the number of teams in. Do we really need that conference championship weekend because of what happens to the loser of the conference championship game?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a way, by having this 9-game balanced schedule, you can pull the top 2 teams without them having to play each other for the quote conference championship.
Are teams inactive conference championship game weekend, or would there be games to?
Well, I think there could, depending on the size of the playoff.
Yeah.
You know what the Big Ten was talking about when they're talking about going to 24 or 28 is starting the postseason right then on that what had been conference championship weekend.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, what conferences would do to offset getting rid of their conference championship game, right? And would that be, would you add some new games to the schedule, you know, for playoff seeding or elimination games within your league? Or is there enough teams making the playoff that you wouldn't?
Well, if you get to 24, when you get to 20, enough getting in where you don't have to do that,
right? And I think, you know, if that's, we were talking about it yesterday, like if the cost of getting rid of a redundant conference championship game weekend is a 24-team playoff, like it's a bargain I probably wouldn't have signed up for a couple of years ago.
Me either.
But seeing what's happened to conference championship game weekend and knowing you're going to have games where both teams know they're in,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I mean, then you've made it an NFL preseason game.
Yeah, it's right? It doesn't really matter.
I mean, at that point,
it's just maybe seeding.
And at that point, it's not better than another round of the playoffs. Like at that point, then just add 12 more teams to the playoff and play a playoff game in that place. And now I don't think, here's the thing, I don't think you stop at 24, right? Like I don't think they stop at 24. I would have stopped. You know what I mean? Like we would have stopped.
I was ready to stop at 16.
Yeah, if you were Casey Jones, you know, driving that train, like it would be different. But like I think that it just becomes easier to grow and grow and grow this thing as professional sports have grown.
Well, it's just more money. That's very simple. to look at that. So that's the big news. Love your thoughts. What three teams would you have if you're making the schedule for the SEC for Auburn or for any team? We'll get to our first break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You mentioned the Drive hotline presented by Skybar.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary. To our friends, tonight, right? The 20th anniversary party tonight, and yeah, they're celebrating 20 years in downtown Auburn. So yeah, congratulations to all the management. And whenever I shout at the management, they want me to point out the management and staff, right? Sure. The hard work and staff, yeah, you know, all over that place. And so yeah, congratulations to the folks at Skybar. First 250 people tonight get free T-shirts commemorating the 20th anniversary. I'm sure those are going to be all over eBay. Right, limited edition,
yeah, you know it.
Just like the fire sale a couple of weeks ago. You know, a lot of that stuff's going straight. No, but no, that's a really cool thing they're doing. So congratulations. And Bill, we're on the road tomorrow too. You know, keep in mind that we're
right. Winter Timber Outdoors tomorrow, both on the line and the drive out there. So looking forward to folks stopping by and joining us tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to be right by the mall. Have we we're near the old Kmart, right? As we mentioned, yeah, it's a Walmart grocery store, but yeah, we're going to be over there commemorating the grand opening of Winter Timber Outdoors, and they're doing grand opening stuff all weekend long.
Right.
But we'll be there. The OTL boys will be there as well. So 2 to 6, come check us out right by the mall off of Opelika Road.
All right, we'll get to our first break. Love for you to join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
I am Eddie Smith, and I am running to be your next.
402 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. And Ferg, let's go ahead and just catch people up, get people up to date on what is the latest that you've got out there at the Observer. What's coming up?
Yeah, depth chart projections came out this morning. Decided to do that. Kind of my stab at the final, what I think it's going to shake out for game week against Baylor.
Soon we're going to compare notes. I want the.
I mean, if he's got his,
I want to see.
I saw that's what your story was. I hadn't had a chance to look at it. I was going to see how.
You know, let's do that for a second. Bill and I are going to go band for band with our depth chart projections. I had practice notes, observations from earlier in the week. Tomorrow we've got a huge mailbag, and then Dan and I have a couple podcasts coming out this weekend that are pretty fun. AuburnObserver.com. Check it out. Still $4 a month or $40 a year. We're running that sale from now until the start of the season.
Do you want to mention, if you have an Auburn student, because I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Ferg, we've had some benefactors do something really cool for Auburn students.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you are an Auburn student that just started, if you're a freshman, or if you're listening to this and you know somebody in your life who just started school at Auburn this week, as a freshman, we've had several Observer subscribers donate subscriptions. So they've already paid. And
how cool is that?
Had a couple people already take advantage of this week. We still have some spots for more. So, yeah, just shoot me an email, shoot me a message, find a way to get up with me. And if you are an Auburn freshman or you know of an Auburn freshman that you want to give them an Observer subscription, we have folks that have paid for their first year. So go ahead and do that, AuburnObserver.com.
All right, so let's get some thought. Let's get some of your thoughts.
By the way, real quick, we were doing the game of power conference teams that don't have a dance partner lineup.
Oh,
in 27-28.
Yeah, what do you got?
Found two. Now other teams could pick up more.
Right. Am I correct that Arizona's one of them?
No.
Okay.
There are only two, and it's a very interesting two. One of them is Virginia.
Okay.
Virginia doesn't have anybody lined
Auburn
up.
Virginia would be that. Would
and
be
here's one. Here's one that Auburn has played before, and in a very famous series, USC does not have anybody.
Oh,
lined
that's
up.
Right. Okay.
I think I'd rather have Virginia on there than USC.
Yeah. I don't know the last time Auburn's played Virginia in football. They've done it before, I know, but it's been a while.
Although I would say it has been, even though I'm sure that we have listeners and people in the studio that were at the Auburn USC game. Did you make the trip in 02?
No.
You did
no.
not? Okay. Oh, that, yeah, I was thinking, there are people who went to the Coliseum, a lot of them, and you know, I was in the stadium in 03. Like, that it's been long enough that it would be a
I don't have a problem with playing USC. I'm just thinking it would be more manageable to make a trip to Charlottesville than it is, again, to go up, back out to USC. That's all I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, it would be different. But, yeah, I would think
those are the two. Auburn and Virginia have some
there are plenty of teams that are in these conferences, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, that are willing to play multiple of these non-con games. So you could pick up another one. One of them that I saw that I thought was interesting, Auburn has never played Pitt before in a football game. Pitt has been traditionally scheduling two high-caliber games each year, and I think Pitt is open for that.
We were hoping for seasons. Arizona State, but it's
a lot of the Big 12's already booked.
Yeah, they've got A&M. They've got an A&M series.
The Big 12's got a lot booked up already, so does the Big 10. But yeah, USC is open, and
you know who does not? Well, I'm using FB schedules for this. I believe. Now you're also considering, do they have an open spot in their schedule, right? Not just do they have a power conference opponent for some of this, because Nebraska is not playing a power conference non-con game in 27, but they have three announced non-conference games.
Do they have a spot open in 28?
Ooh, I should check on that. I don't, but I
want to say Nebraska plays somebody big soon.
Yeah, I mean I do think that's something else that.
By the way, I had forgotten Ohio State plays Alabama in a couple years.
The ramifications of because there are some scheduling ramifications for going to nine games too, but I think that like schools have anticipated schools have probably anticipated this enough that they can adjust, and it's not going to be too much of a headache. And I would imagine the announced power conference games are not going to be affected by a move to nine. It's going to be, you're going to have to figure out what to do about paycheck games and when you play them.
It's not going to be nearly as difficult. With it being those type games that they're going to lose. So
anyway, I did the research during the break, and those were the two that I found that had no power conference teams lined up for 27-28 like Auburn and have spots open on
the pie schedule. In the sky. But I'm assuming Notre Dame is completely booked up for those years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And they do, and they have that thing now with the ACC.
So I was going to say, because they're scheduled, because they're playing nothing but non-conference games, right. And so you would think it'd be a little easier to find there, but
they have that partnership with the ACC now that eats up like half their schedule.
And there's a pretty lengthy waiting list of teams trying to get them on the schedule.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure out if they're going to play USC every year moving forward.
And we saw them, the Michigan series already went like that. That, I mean, for all the talk of. And Auburn, Georgia, it's a different sort of consecutive game streak. But Michigan and Notre Dame played for a very long time, and then it just became something that they couldn't sustain on the schedule anymore.
Yeah,
kudos to the SEC for avoiding too many instances like that if they can go to nine games and preserve
these rivalries. Yeah, nine's the best way to do it. The word was if they'd have stayed at eight, they still would have protected everything.
Sankey had said
that earlier this year,
and that's why
they were going to extend some. But what that would do would have pushed back the next time you would have seen another team,
correct.
Who knows how many years.
Yeah, Kirby said I was speculating when I asked him about sort of if eight games would spell the end of the Auburn Georgia series, and he was right because we didn't know, but it's also like they could have kept it at eight.
Sankey had said at spring meetings earlier this year that there were models that I think it was going to look like the Big Ten's, where they just have an ambiguous amount of protection.
Yeah, it would not specific
because there's no way to break down an 18 team conference. Right.
I wonder how much appetite there would have been for 1-7. You know what I mean? And some of those games that go away if you do it that way, like had you stayed at eight. But instead,
For the schools that don't have two big time, rivals, they would have been fine with a 1-7.
I feel like everybody has at least two. Maybe Mizzou's the only one where I'm like, what do they have?
And Mizzou does. I would say Oklahoma and Arkansas are teams that Missouri has borders.
Years ago, so they've still got
That's the one where I was kind of like.
Here's my question.
Who does Vandy really want to play besides Tennessee every year?
My question would be, who in the conference considers South Carolina one of their top rivals?
Georgia?
And I think that does Georgia consider one of their top rivals?
I would say Georgia. I would say they're how many, in the league.
Florida,
they're probably
Tennessee.
Where's South Carolina on the list of Georgia rivals? Like
probably fourth.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where South Carolina's recency as an SEC team probably plays them against, because they played Arkansas forever. It was like, well, you're the 292 teams. Go ahead, yep. You two play. And then it was
you're the two Columbia teams.
And then it was South Carolina A&M every year. And it's like, well, you're the two leftovers that we don't have a cross division rival for.
You're the two farthest apart from each other.
It's like, it was like a very that and Kentucky and State. Playing every year, we're the two weirdest
Kentucky State,
the weirdest cross division rivals. That was just like,
at least Ole Miss Vanderbilt. It was like they all dressed the same.
You had 15
so
minutes.
That one made sense.
You had 15 minutes to do it, and you had to. But it's like you're not going to cook up a. Like, some teams just didn't have a real rival on the other side of the division. And I think for South Carolina.
I mean, LSU, Florida was just made up.
Hardly ever played.
And you know what? And Florida, for a while, was probably one of the top South Carolina rivals. But it's like, I don't think South Carolina. I don't think Florida fans would say, oh, yeah, no. South Carolina. I mean, they're probably six or seven teams that
because
Florida fans would
South
tell
Carolina
you.
Is an ACC school.
Exactly. So that's the one where they're going to have to.
I've always viewed them.
I wonder if it's like you have. Like, South Carolina could be in position to have three permanent opponents that don't make any sense at all because they had to they prioritized all the other games.
South Carolina was never in the ACC during my lifetime, but I'm like, yeah, they're an ACC team.
South Carolina, Oklahoma are going to play every year, and it's like, what in the world did they? I guess they just had a spot left over, and they had to.
Meanwhile, I think it works out really well this model for the three for those teams out in the Midwest, not the Midwest, I guess,
the
old Southwest teams, yeah. Because, like, you can give Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know.
And potentially
Arkansas. Yep. You throw them, you know, one of those other.
Missouri's another one.
Yeah, Oklahoma can play Texas every year. They can play A&M every year if they want
to. How about this?
They can play Mizzou.
If your priority, it would be tough with Alabama. That'd be tough with a couple of these teams. It's like.
A&M's got a big punch card.
If you're prioritizing the TV ratings thing, do you look at Texas against maybe not a bordering team, but it's like, ooh, you know, the thought of. You could do Texas, Georgia every year, or you could do Texas, Alabama every year, or you could do Texas, whatever. Like I wonder if
that should not supersede
historic rivals,
actual rivals.
Real rivals.
I would hope not. Yeah. I would hope not. But I wonder if that's something that they'll be tempted by.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like when you give Alabama, Tennessee State, and oh gosh,
I think it's Auburn. I think it's Auburn, Tennessee,
Tennessee,
LSU,
and
they should play State every year.
They should. They're neighbors.
They're right next to each other. Yep. Yeah, but. I believe it's the two closest campuses in the entire conference.
I believe it is.
Still is,
two.
Yeah.
Because
I thought maybe
for those who have never been there, Starkville's just West Alabama.
And I thought maybe adding the Texas and Oklahoma schools would add, it's still those schools are closer than Austin and College Station.
Oh yeah, they're
geographically.
And Austin and College Station aren't that far apart.
No. All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'd love your input on. Thoughts on a 9-game conference schedule? Anything on your mind sports-wise as we continue with the Thursday Drive? Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson. Let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar and John. Hey, John.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Well,
I'm not fine, but I'm better
he's,
than I was.
He's up and moving around, John.
Hey, you can outrace me, I promise you. I always want to thank Skybar for sponsoring these calls and congratulate Pat, Dan, and the staff for 20 great years. Hopefully, we'll get at least 20 more. But Bill, the series that I missed after the realignment with Auburn was the Florida series. I always had a great time going to Gainesville. I always loved it when their fans came to Auburn. They spent a lot of money. And, you know, the younger people don't realize we used to have played Tennessee, Florida, Bama, and Georgia every year.
Amen. Corner was always at the Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
How about this? How about this? Now, this is going to be the start. This upcoming year is my 12th season covering Auburn. Okay, I have covered one Auburn-Tennessee game and two Auburn-Florida games.
And they were both in Gainesville, right? Did you cover an Auburn-Florida game here?
No, actually, I didn't cover it. So it's 1-1.
Yeah,
it's 1-1.
I don't think Auburn's been to Florida. So, I mean, I don't think Florida's been to Auburn since 11.
Since 11.
Is that right?
I wasn't covering the team yet.
That's madness.
I know we've we beat them one of the years they won the national championship,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, the last time Auburn and Florida played, the last time Auburn and Florida played in back to back years, I believe, was 06.
That's the Trey Smith was 06 block punt, right?
No, well, no, that's at home.
That's at home.
Auburn goes. Oh, 07, yes, yeah, 07 yeah. is the 18-19 point underdog Auburn yeah. team going there with Brandon and Cody Burns taking turns right. and some big and West Byram
freshman game winning
field goal, but that's a and that by the way that team we mentioned yesterday because that's a team that started looking lost at sea at the beginning of the season, and it's a reminder that teams can improve from week one to week four pretty drastically.
And then the Tennessee series, I covered a Auburn-Tennessee game, or two Auburn-Tennessee games. I had it backwards. It's two Auburn-Tennessee games, one Auburn-Florida game.
18-20, right? Or the two, yeah.
Auburn-Tennessee, like 2013, that's the only time I've ever been in Knoxville. To cover an Auburn football
game. That's
crazy.
That was the early season SEC game that would determine whether Auburn or Tennessee was going to be a factor.
I mean, man, you look
race.
At the history books, and it's like so many times. Like after Shug got the program really rolling, there were so many years that were like it was a top 10 game, like high level SEC mm-hmm. game, and you hate that those are going away. So I'm really glad that balance is back. Yep. But yeah, Florida too. I mean, I know a lot of people.
Y'all don't forget that a lot of those years we were playing Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Bama. We were also playing Florida State. I mean, how many years we played them every you know home and away.
Personally, I want to see Auburn play Florida State again. I think that would be really fun. I know
that was another group of fans that came in and spent a lot of money in Auburn.
You're right. So, well, that's not that far. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see that on the 27-28 schedule.
I grew up enough, we were south enough in Alabama that, like, I grew up with a decent number of Florida State fans. So, I mean, there was a lot. I like that crossover.
John, Ferg and I have talked about neutral siding it at the Peanut Festival in Dothan between Auburn and Florida State, like a halfway point, a nice safe halfway point. That would probably work better for a men's and women's basketball doubleheader. Than for
I don't think Rip Hugh Stadium is ready for Auburn Florida State
but no I think look Auburn Florida State, and that's another one where aside from the 13 championship game, like there are generations plural of Auburn fans and Florida State fans that have no concept of those teams.
And while
playing,
we're on
like,
this,
that'd
mean,
be awesome.
While we're on this track for a long time, Georgia Tech was one of Auburn's biggest.
Oh
problems.
Yeah, you're right. The Rec Tech parade.
When they were coached by my good friend Chan Gailey.
Well, and way before them. But, I mean, now that was – yeah, of course they were in the SEC for years, too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I want that to come back, too. I know Georgia Tech's, like, really booked up, like, for right now. But, yeah, I would love to see that one come back.
Okay, one last question. I missed the show the other day with Jacob on – Jacob going, who is this team? Booker, aren't they, like, a prep school? Or
yeah, they are in Sarasota.
And we've got Justin who's going to be you're going to be in the house tomorrow. Yep. Yeah, Justin's going to cover the game for the OA News.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about Booker?
Super talented team. They've got three guys on that team that are top 200 recruits.
Yeah, like, they've got a very talented team. Keith Etheridge today, who was on with Jacob. Said that they've got five guys committed to Power Four schools.
Yeah, a really, really talented team. And there's some there. This is a really good matchup. You know, I know last year Auburn opened with North Miami Beach, and that team like barely brought anybody, and it was a pretty lopsided game early on. I expect this to be a really fun back and forth tomorrow night. Should be a really, really fun way to get the season started at Auburn High.
Yeah, who's on the broadcast? I know it's Jacob. Rob Pate still with them?
Yep, Rob indeed is. Here's a funny story. I don't know how this happened. Yesterday, we're riding along in the car. I can't drive right now until the knee gets a little better. And my phone was in my pocket. I don't know if my wife hit the call button or whatever on the steering wheel. But the next thing I know, I hear my car saying, calling Rob Pate.
Okay.
And I went, wait a minute. And I
read your mind.
Well, no, it's crazy. So I hung up and thought, well, maybe he won't see that. And danged if, you know, like 15 minutes later, Rob calls me back and we had a great conversation. Yeah. He's on. He's looking forward to it and going to be back
as
well.
Really enjoy him on the radio. He's great.
He is really, really good.
And he's a pretty darn good diet doctor, too.
Yes, he is.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for everything, War Eagle, and go Auburn High. And, you know.
Yep. Big way to start tomorrow night. That's great. Hey, good stuff, John. Good hearing from you.
All right.
Great stuff, John.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing, just as can I give a little plug here. I'm covering Auburn High games, at least when I'm in town, the home games for OA News Again. I've been doing that for several years now. Really, really cool to see. For those of you who are in the area, Auburn High's at home, Opelika's at home, Lee Scott's at home, Beauregard's at home, and I think there's another area team or a very local team that's at home. If you got nothing to do tomorrow night, go watch some high school football.
Yeah.
I talked about this the other day with somebody that high school starting a week before college, like the main college schedule. I love it as a warm up for me covering football games and just getting that feeling again. And it's a lot of fun. So a lot of good football being played here. This area is just crazy good in football.
It's unbelievable the talent that keeps coming out of this area and the quality of football there is.
But I mean, you've got four of like immediate local area teams. They're going to be at home tomorrow. So if you got an opportunity to go check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Let's get to our final break of hour number one. Again, we've got plenty we can talk about. We'd love to hear from you though. 334-321-1390 here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Opening August 27th.
U.com.
Final segment of hour number one here on the Thursday Drive, and let's get right back to the Drive hotline. And Jason is up next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good. Hey, want to talk about the Baylor game a little bit, the future of Auburn football. So let's start with the game. First of all, I'm feeling better and better as we get closer to the game. Some of my questions about the team have been answered. One of my bigger concerns was pass rush, and the emergence of Morris Williams makes me feel a whole lot better about that.
That's one of the areas, you know, that's interesting because that's one of the areas because Keldrick's back and I, you know, aside from Keldrick, I think there were some pretty big question marks and still are.
Sounds like Kieron Crawford is.
They really like Chris Murray a lot too. Like yeah. Chris Murray's come in and made a big impact. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a question, you know, I had Jason coming into camp, and I'm with you. I feel a lot stronger about that group than I did coming in.
Yeah. You know, having said all that, we all know that we could lose next Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
So my question is, if that were to happen, where do you think the Auburn fan base would be in whether they want to keep Freeze or get rid of Freeze if we lose opening game next Friday night?
If you lose the opening game, and it depends on how you do it, but like if you lose that opening game, I think there will be a lot of people that are gonna be like, all right, here we go again. Like, can this team, you know, what is this going to look like? And then the next couple of weeks when you play Ball State in South Alabama, you probably aren't getting a ton of I think it just puts even more pressure on that stretch you have out of the gates in SEC play. But
I would want to know.
There'd be frustration for sure. Yeah, Baylor's a good team, but like when you come into the season saying we expect to be better, we need to start winning these games more, and the first shot you have at it, you fall short.
Right,
it's going to frustrate people.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody would tell you they think Baylor is better than games 4, 5, and 6 with Oklahoma, A&M, Georgia.
It would matter sort of what degree of hopelessness we're talking about, and I don't think Hugh Freeze is in a position where he can mismanage games away either because of what happened last year. But if it's something that seems fixable, then maybe folks will, you know, I mean, then the Oklahoma game suddenly becomes enormous. If it's something that seems broken.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, you got a better Oklahoma team. You know, you got an Oklahoma team that on paper seems better than Baylor on the road in just a couple of weeks. If this is how you looked against Baylor, like if it feels like you've got a ton of work to do before Oklahoma, then you could be
a lot of frustration.
Then the heat is on in those two home games.
Yeah, I agree. And what I really wanted to say was, you know, I kind of implore the Auburn fans to look past this one game and look at how the roster has turned over and how much better the roster is. And the worst thing that could happen for Auburn right now is for us to get rid of Hugh Freeze and start all over. You know, we need him to win 8 or 9 games this year. It's the most critical year that I can remember for Auburn football. Because if he only wins, you know, 6, he's probably gone, and people are going to leave, and we're going to start all over.
Yeah.
So those Auburn fans out there, and there's a bunch of them listening to your show that think he's not the guy for the job, you better root for him to be the guy for the job.
I think that's completely fair. I know people have their frustrations or don't like the fit or aren't Hugh Freeze fans. But at the end of the day, yes, it would be if Auburn's having to hit that reset button long term. You know, it does a lot of damage.
Reset right now is would be very, very
because you're already have fallen behind. You know, these last several years, and you've
been working like crazy to try to catch up some.
Correct.
And they've done an amazing job, and I think closing that gap. That gap would open.
Yes.
Why?
To join these 2 points together from Jason, though, I will say, if you do lose that first game, it puts even more pressure. Like, you got to get – there's time to turn it around. There's time to fix it for sure. But, right. it just ratchets up the pressure.
Yeah, I think Jason's point is, like there are some Auburn fans who maybe think, like, oh, man, a different coach with this team would be – and it's like, a different coach ain't going to have this team.
Yeah, it's like the old days where you're keeping most of your roster.
It's like
– yeah, exactly. Some of those studs that we've got are going to leave if they get rid of Freeze, and we're going to go backwards again. So, like I said, the fan base needs to be behind you, Freeze. It is critical that we have a winning, an 8 or 9 win season this year for the future of Auburn football. When I was thinking about the roster, last point, and you start thinking about next year, assuming the guys come back that are eligible to come back, there's not a lot of holes in this roster.
No,
there's
a
lot of guys coming back at almost every position. It's not. There's a reason why we don't even need a full class of high school seniors. There is a lot of talent coming back, and at almost every position along the way.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jason. We're just about out of time here for hour number one. We can discuss that a little bit more in hour number two, which is coming up.
Yeah. Great stuff on that call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jason. We've got to step aside. We are right back with the second hour of the Thursday Drive.
...or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in the studio. Taking your calls, questions, comments. News of the day, the SEC announcing that the league will indeed go to a 9-game conference schedule starting next season. So that means no concerns about losing the Auburn-Georgia game, the Alabama-Tennessee game. I'm sure there's another game or two around the league. But, I mean, those are the two that, in this state, mean an awful lot, and people were worried about if you stayed with an 8-game conference schedule.
How about some interesting stuff from our pal Brandon Marcello on Twitter? Some notes from speaking to sources about the SEC going to 9 games.
Uh-huh.
ADs have been concerned with fan backlash over rising ticket prices and lack of quality games. A 9th conference game helps.
Ticket prices ain't coming down.
No, but you might get... You might get fewer
games,
fewer one-sided games. College football playoff metric changes. The announcement earlier this week about the college football playoff factoring strength of schedule more heavily, or adjusting how they decide to factor strength of schedule. That pushed the SEC to a 9th game. ESPN is reportedly paying about $5 million per year to each SEC each SEC member institution. That number could jump in the future, and it also seems possible that this could be what moves the SEC back towards automatic qualifiers in a 16-team college football playoff. You could have a situation where maybe the SEC championship game is replaced by a weekend of four right. games featuring the top 8 teams in the SEC playing for 4 guaranteed spots and at-large consideration.
Yeah, you'd have 3-6, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5.
I wonder,
with 1 and 2 already.
I wonder if that's what they would do with 4, or if they would consider the fact that 1 and 2 could lose to 7 and 8 and still make the college football playoff as at-larges.
I don't think they're going to put one and two in. I think one and two get buys.
I wonder if one and two get buys or if there's the opportunity to replace the SEC championship with four games. But there's the four automatic qualifiers, how they decide to handle the automatic qualifiers.
I feel very strongly that if it's four automatic qualifiers, you're going to get one and two automatically in, and then three, four, five, and six play. And if three or four lose, they are hoping to get a fifth spot.
You think about how valuable, though, like if seven and eight – have a pathway to the college football playoff and what that would mean for
finishing the top six.
I know, finish the top six of your league. I agree, but I'm just saying
if you're going to do that, go ahead and go to 24.
If the thought
I think we're barreling towards
24. Absolutely.
All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. Jeremy is hanging on. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys, update on what I kind of asked y'all not too long ago. Would the Braves finish closer to the Phillies or the Rockies in the standings at the end of the year? The Braves are 8-2 in their last 10, so they've gotten to within 16 of Philly and 21 up on the Rockies.
Rockies are playing better, but yeah, they still should finish, I would think, closer to the Phillies than the Rockies.
Two weeks ago, it was dead even.
Yeah.
They were exactly 18.5 behind Philly and 18.5 up on the Rockies.
Tell you what, I think the Braves, and this would have been a bold thing to say a couple of weeks ago, I think the Braves have a real shot of finishing ahead of the Marlins, right? And that's something that I don't know if I would have necessarily agreed with when the Marlins were surging and the Braves were taking on water right after the All-Star break. The Marlins have had some bad luck with injuries. They traded away a couple of pieces too. And the Braves have, I want to see how they finish and what they can use to build on.
Not good news today from the Braves that Austin Riley's out for the year, and then Spencer Strider is going to miss at least a start. He has really struggled, but Austin Riley having to have surgery there to repair that abdominal problem that he's had, so he's out for the year.
The biggest thing that's helped the Braves is the bullpen seems to have settled down.
Rysell's good again.
Right, Rysell, and then Johnson in the eighth inning. He has been lights out.
And Dylan Lee, high leverage lefty role. I mean, that's been a lot of fun to see, like, because that's how they should have been all year long.
And I wonder what kind of future Pierce and Rysell have. Neither of them are under contract next year for the Braves. Those were guys that we talked about maybe being trade targets if the Braves were going to go.
Apparently,
full.
The Braves didn't get it. Same with Ozuna. They just didn't really get enough to justify. Okay. You know, we still need to finish the season.
I'll tell you what, though, in baseball more than any other sport, you slap a qualifying offer on a player you want to keep. It's easier to keep your own free agent if they're open to returning. And if the Braves feel like they're in position to win next year, they could absolutely, you know, keep both of those guys at a reasonable price and not have to worry as much about rebuilding the bullpen. Because, you know, as we've said before, like next season and the first half of 2027 – vitally important for the Atlanta Braves because trade deadline 27 is probably when you need to make your decision about Ronald Acuna and the last.
I'll make that decision for him. How about that?
Right, but it's last year and a half or so of Acuna. You know, you could have the potential of trading him away to somebody two postseasons. It's like it would. You know, I think you're in a similar position as the Nationals were with Soto. So it's like, you know, if there's a championship window, you don't even think about it. If you're a playoff team. So that's why
they ought to be a playoff team.
I think that people will look at them as a top half of the National League team going into next season.
Yep.
They should be the same thing in 27, and that would be when you're under the gun to make a move.
I'll tell you one thing. I can't keep hearing about how much money Liberty Media is making with everything with the Braves and them not pay Ronald Acuna. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there.
Glad to get y'all excited about talking about the Braves because it's not been fun. Now to Hugh Freeze. If he's got the studs that your caller in the last hour said he's got, with this schedule, he better win 8 or 9 games.
Yes, he should. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
How about this? This is a better roster than they were last year. And my big takeaway from last year is they should have won seven or eight games last year.
I think they should have won eight
games last year. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Like no, like we all want Auburn to win. Like, we all want Hugh Freeze to do well. But, like, with this roster, with this schedule, you better win 8 or 9 games. Because the schedule, well, whatever, it's not going to be, you're not guaranteed to rotate Texas and stuff off. But you're not playing Texas, LSU, or Tennessee right now.
Mm-hmm. You play
Ole Miss.
Using the SEC predicted order of finish from Media Days, you play two of the top seven in the conference this year, and you play them both at home, Bama and Georgia.
Right.
A&M and Oklahoma, I believe, are 8 and 9.
And here's my point about this with the Freeze thing that I keep going back to. If it doesn't work this year, especially on offense,
mm-hmm.
a very valid question is to look around and say,
What more do you need
to win football games?
And what do you bring? And what do you bring to that equation, right? Like, if what you need is an NFL player at every position, then it's like, well, that's a lot of coaches can look like geniuses if that's what it takes.
Yeah, we
haven't played the first game, and don't start telling me that we've got to be worried about recruits leaving at the end of the year if we stink. Like, I am not worried about that. Like, go beat Baylor's butt. It takes care of everything itself.
Yeah, go 6-6 and see if the recruits stay. How about that? Yeah, go 6-6 and see if those recruits stick around.
Jeremy's exactly right. I mean, the main thing, and this is crazy, I mean, this is cliche as it gets, but Auburn better be worried about this next one.
Yep.
Take care of this next one. You do that, that gets some goodwill as you've got a couple of games before you go on the road for Oklahoma and Texas A&M, and everything you do positive just helps. You don't need to start off negative.
I am only 14 games removed in my mind from losing to New Mexico State. Like, I am not – South Alabama, like, no. Like, I don't care.
Right?
I go back to this as well. It's like last season you lost to Cal, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt at home that you had beaten on the road. Mm-hmm. A year earlier, nothing's off the table. Like you mentioned, South, like nothing's off the table, and that's something that you've got to fix.
Exactly. And then when it comes to the scheduling thing, like I'm glad they're doing what they're doing. Alabama, Georgia. I would prefer Florida probably as the third team every year. I don't worry about the balance of schedule thing for the exact reasons we were just talking about. Like, in the grand scheme of things, if you're going to be rotating all the teams through every 4 years, you're going to have your chances. And I've always said, either you're championship level and you can win those games or you're not.
So Florida,
I really don't care. Like, give me the three teams that I want to see us play every year.
Florida, and you know what, fans, I think, feel very strongly that way. They'd rather play those teams, Florida or Tennessee.
Right. There aren't as many Auburn fans being like, well, we need to get Vandy for balance.
Right.
Well,
but I do think some of this is generational, though, right? Because if you're of the age where you remember Auburn playing Florida and Tennessee every year, you have nostalgia for those games. When we were talking about getting rid of –
you got younger fans that want to play Alabama, Georgia, and LSU.
Exactly. I work with two guys
that were screaming today when we got the news. They were like, oh, I hope we get to play LSU again. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I grew up not playing LSU or Ole Miss. Like,
right.
We were just as likely to play Ole Miss in a bowl game as we were to play them in the regular season.
Exactly.
And it's just the same way there are older fans like, yeah, the LSU game's a rivalry, but only really because of the divisions. There are younger fans that are like, Auburn and Florida. What are you talking about?
Auburn, that's
not a rivalry game. Like, so that would be. And I do think with Florida, it's like you do have to also find room in their lengthy list of rivalry games. You know, the good
thing is with the balanced schedule, you're going to get everybody.
Yep,
at least half the time.
Right, you will get everybody over the course of 4 years. You'll get them twice over the course of 4 years.
Right.
So that's all we're hoping.
All right, Jeremy.
All right, guys.
334-321-1390.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we'd love for you to join in. Again, Dan is on the board, so we don't have anybody screening calls. So if you call in and it rings a little while, Let it keep ringing. We'll get to it as quickly as we can. Oh yeah,
only call during commercial breaks. That'll be
That's a good idea.
You can call whenever you want.
No, you can call whenever. I mean, we got to the
when
point
when I'm the
where,
only one here. That's
yeah. That's
they only called briefly though. I wonder if that was a wrong number.
It was ringing before you noticed it. But, well, I mean, because you were talking.
I'm talking.
I mean, it's
hosting the show too.
It's like you've got to stop talking to be able to answer the phone.
Can't throw and catch the ball. You know what I mean?
All right, we'll get to our first break. You can join us now.
I saw Bugs Bunny do it.
Yeah, that's right. 334-321-1390. We're right back.
Call now.
Here on the Thursday Drive. That's it. Call us now.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Remember when you would dream about what you would grow up?
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Yeah, love for you to join in. While we have a minute, all right. We've talked about the talent that Hugh Freeze and his staff, Justin, have amassed. You were mentioning your depth chart. I've got one. I thought it was on this computer. It's on the one I've got at the house. But I'm pretty sure I know who I had.
We can do this way. Ferg can do his, and then because you'll probably remember what's different about yours, right?
Okay, so like, that's fine.
Ferg, take us through yours, and we'll offer sort of analysis and commentary.
And I'll concur or
quarterback 1, 2, and 3 Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels, 2 Snipe.
That's the same I've got.
Yep. I mean that's straightforward.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, they're not going to play all three of them at Baylor. That's not the plan.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, if you ask me, hey, could you see all 80? Could you see all 70 guys that dress out in the game? Yeah, you could.
Could.
Do I think there's
the world is filled with mysteries?
That's
and wonders.
What I said to somebody this morning. It's like, well, you know, you could.
But I don't know if there's a role for Ashton or Deuce with Jackson healthy and playing well.
No,
against Oklahoma
specifically against for the Baylor game. No, I don't.
No,
think
I think
so.
That, and that's something people maybe.
But I mean, you could.
Yeah. Running back. Okay, so running back's interesting because I kind of have it in waves. I think.
All right.
Damari Alston's first.
Yes.
And I think Jeremiah Cobb's second. But Jeremiah, he's a floater. Like
he is. You
can kind of move him around.
But I have to have him second.
Mm-hmm. I had him second.
Right now I've got Omar.
I have Omar and Darrell even with
sort
each
of
other
bracketed.
And that's the thing. It's like. I think if Darrell was healthier, maybe you get a little bit. But, I mean, Omar's shown that he is going to, I think, fight for playing time right away.
I think you'll see him Friday night.
And Alvin Henderson behind that group. Right. Nothing against Alvin. It's just going to probably take him a little
bit
longer.
And if you don't, you know, we're wrong about this. But I would say, yeah, right now, if you asked me if Omar's touching the ball against Baylor, I would say yes.
Yes.
And that's something. And if you would ask me that. The week of the start.
I asked you that a couple of weeks ago.
If you'd asked me that, the first time we saw them with, I mean, there was a run very early on.
Yeah.
And it was the first time we were at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah.
When we were at Jordan-Hare like the first week. It was like, oh, Omar's the first, you know, that's
one of the first backs
something
out there.
There. Yeah. But if you'd asked me that before preseason practice, if you'd asked me that at media days, I'd have said, probably not and almost like assuredly not. And here we are, and it's, he seems to have played his way into the mix.
Wide receiver, split end X, whatever you want to call it. I have Cam Coleman, Sam Turner, Eric Smith in that order. You can mix and match around there. That flanker Z spot. I've got Horatio Fields. I think if Auburn is going to play Eric Singleton Jr. in the slot primarily, which it looks like that is what they're doing. I got Horatio Fields as a starter. I got Perry Thompson behind him, and I got Duke Smith, the third in that group. Cameron King as well, just to keep an eye on him at that spot.
And if something happened to Cam, I could see Perry, you know, switching over to the other side.
Right,
but I think right now,
it could be Perry.
I think the thought that it's Eric and then Malcolm.
You will see Perry before you will see Sam.
I agree.
But I
think you will see Horatio before you see Perry.
I think Horatio out there with the first snap.
I would predict that he starts against Baylor.
Slot receivers: Eric Singleton Jr., Malcolm Simmons, and Bryce Kane. I think all three of those guys are going to play.
And I think you could see two of them on the field at the same time.
Correct. Yes, I think you can. And look, if you go 10 personnel, you're going to need 2 slot receivers.
Yep, that's right.
Tight end, I have – so this one might be the more – I don't think a controversial one here. But right now, tight end, I have co-starters. I am finding it harder to separate Brandon Frazier and Preston Howard. I think both of them are going to play the lion's share of the snaps there.
It may depend on where you have the ball.
Yeah.
It may depend on –
I think Preston Howard is a better receiving threat.
Yep.
He continues to get a lot of love and a lot of praise. Brandon Frazier's getting some momentum there, and apparently he's had a couple of really good weeks of practice. He's probably the starter, but I think you could see just as much Preston
Howard. How about Frazier as a red zone guy, and Preston maybe as the guy who's more of a big play threat in the between the 20s type? I wonder.
The only issue I have with that is you have better red zone threats on this team out wide. And it's just like,
oh, sure.
You jam it in there, you know, like, what are you going to do? Like, if you're in the red zone, if you're wanting to go in the red zone, Auburn's best bet might be going four wide with Cam and Perry and Horatio and a slot receiver,
yeah.
And letting a slot receiver eat underneath. Yeah. Like, that might be the better move.
Although I still think you could, and some of this depends on how the tackles are playing. But you could see
Tate's third one, the freshman behind him.
You could still see. I think that because that's the thing when we started preseason camp,
it'll be 12.
What kind of role will the tight ends have on this team? And it seems like Hughes mentioned Preston as a receiving threat.
Yep.
Monday.
He's looked good. I have been impressed with Preston Howard this preseason camp. I don't know how you want to do offensive line. I think the starting five is the starting
obvious.
Five.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so you've got Xavier from left to right, Xavier Chaplin, Dylan Wade, Connor Liu, Jeremiah Wright, and Mason Murphy. Your sixth man, who could play guard, could play tackle. I think you're gonna see him. I think Auburn's gonna want to have him out there at times early in the season.
Well, you can give two or three guys rests.
Correct.
With Tutal,
so Tutal will be that spot. Behind that, second string is interesting. I think Dylan Cinda as like a center guard combo. He's a swing guy on the interior. I think he might be the seventh man, you would think. Tyler Johnson's probably your next man up at tackle.
Seventh man may be a little unusual this year because of Tutal and Dylan Wade
being able
to play multiple
being
spots.
Being able to be like 6, 7, and 8.
Tyler Johnson being able to play left tackle and right tackle, mm-hmm. I think is big. And then it gets like, okay, Cale Ellis in the mix at
center. We've
heard
more about him than anyone else of the candidates you could talk about next,
And DeAndre Carter would be the other one I would say. DeAndre Carter has been consistently second team at guard.
Heard some Ty Buster stuff early, not as much lately.
Yeah, right. So I think that's your 10-ish there if you want to go too deep. And then
which is so much better. It looks a lot better.
They just got to go out there and perform. All right, let's have some fun with this one. Defensive end, Keldrick Falk, Amaris Williams.
Yep.
That third spot's interesting because it's like we have seen Jared Smith play both with his hand in the dirt and also at Buck. We have also seen Darian Smith get some love there, another true freshman.
So Kevius has played
you've
there
also
in his
seen
Zeke's
Zykevius.
More of a tackle.
Yeah.
They Zeke's a little bit
him,
more of a tackle.
But I think he's more of a tackle. Yeah.
Bigger formations you've seen.
By the way, I think Zeke's a tackle and in the rotation at tackle.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
He is one of the seven, eight guys they want to trust.
Say his name shortly.
I will say that Antonio Coleman, if available, is probably the other defensive end there.
Yeah, because now didn't
he's
you
more
have,
of an end than
didn't you have Darian Smith in there? Darian Smith,
yeah,
is more of an inside guy, though.
He's been playing more on the edge.
He's been playing more on the edge. I've been out there the last few days.
So. There was a stretch. Dan and I watched this the other day. There was a stretch at camp where they were doing special teams drill, and all the defensive tackles were off by themselves, off working with the coaching staff. And Keldrick Falk, who's not on special teams because it's Keldrick Falk, he was doing pass rushing drills with Darian Smith, just him.
Oh, okay.
The two.
Well, that would make sense. He's a really good pass rusher.
I think he's more of that hand of the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, end.
Defense, I think he'll grow into that for sure.
Defensive tackle, Malik Blockton, and then it gets fun. I think that next wave at defensive tackle could be Malik Autry.
Zeke, you were talking about.
It could be Zeke Walker. It could be Jay Hardy.
I was going to say Jay's in there. Yeah.
Yep.
Not as much on James Ash right now.
No, I think Ash is
a little further back. Nose tackle.
But could still play. Even in the group of eight.
Nose, Bobby Jameson, Travis, Dallas Walker,
Jordan Crawford.
Did I have another one? I don't
James
know.
Ash.
I think it might have been Ash there, yeah. So I think those seven or eight guys you're going to see, you know, rotate there on the defensive line. Linebacker, Mike Linebacker.
Buck.
Kieran Crawford, Chris Murray, and then it's that wave of like
– Yeah. Is it Jared Smith, who you mentioned a while ago, who could be?
By the way, J.J. Fault could play in or Buck as well.
But that's a position, too, where kind of like with Keldrick and Amaris, like the number three guy matters, but I would expect one of number one or number two is going to be on the field.
Most of the time.
And I think with
it's like last year. It's like last year at Buck, who played behind. How much snaps did guys get behind Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford?
Exactly.
Not a ton. And I think,
the plan is probably.
They like Jamonte Waller. They like Joe Phillips. They like Jared Smith. But how much are you really going to play those guys? So it remains to be seen. Mike linebacker. I think it's Robert Woodyard right now.
I think
it's Robert Woodyard. I think that next line, it could be Caleb Wheatland. It could be Elijah Melendez.
Yeah, I just put Wheatland. I just had Wheatland ahead of Melendez just because he's got a little more experience. But
yeah, I think he's going to play.
I think all six backers play. Yeah.
Will linebacker, I think a healthy DeMarcus Riddick is your starter, but I do think Xavier Atkins is as close as you can be.
Speed at that linebacker spot.
And then Bryce Diaz, yeah.
Atkins and Diaz.
He's been singling out Diaz and Atkins. Hugh Freeze has several times.
I'll be very clear. If they go the first guy out, if the first Will linebacker out at Baylor is Xavier Atkins, I'm not going to be surprised. At all.
Now, I tell you what you're going to have is, I mean, you've got
especially if they continue to play Riddick in that kind of like hybrid role.
Now, you've seen more special teams than I have lately, but I would think some of these guys and some of the guys we're about to talk about in the secondary are going to be prominent on special teams.
Bryce Diaz is on four special teams units. Jared Smith has been involved a ton there, who we mentioned earlier, and then of course the secondary.
I think you're going to see. Yeah, I mean,
we'll get to the secondary.
And I wonder if we haven't heard about Melendez, but it's like I think he has a lot of the same skills as Juice Diaz as bigger, not as quick, but could see him on any one of the four or five different special teams.
I think
units
he was on kick return the other day.
Yeah, wouldn't be shocked.
I think
at all.
I saw him on kick return.
Wouldn't be shocked at all to see him out there.
And then corners, I think of corners and pairs, even though that's probably not the way to
look at it. That's where I have trouble trying to figure out who is behind who.
Yeah,
but
to me,
it
never
mix and match so much. And they don't play field
you have three like combos that make a ton of sense. Kay and Lee and Jet Crawford is your returning starters there.
Your transfers.
I think Rayshon Pleasant's the third best corner on this team right now. I think that's my take on that. Rayon Strader as well. My thing with Strader is, it's like if he can be a little less handsy, he seems to get like a little overly physical sometimes in coverage. But I mean, he was a dude who led the nation in pass breakups.
Pleasant and Murray are both guys where it seems like they brought them in knowing we like our true freshmen, but we would love to have someone who's played college football who can at least challenge them for depth, if not outright. You'll go out there. And I think in both cases, like, you're still going to see the freshman.
Yeah. And then Blake would be in Donovan Starr at the corner.
Yeah. And Donovan Starr made several plays in front of us earlier this week.
Amon Langanis at corner as well. He's had a good game.
I wasn't sure if he was a corner or a nickel.
He can kind of move around. So he's more of a corner because nickels and safeties are together. And that's the only one. Yeah. You move that around. I'll do safeties first. You can think of these in pairs as well. We will go Caleb Harrison, Champ Anthony at safety. You will the next combo again. You can go different ways there. I think, in contrast to the corners, I think the freshman may be further along there, but you can mix and match.
I had Jaquez Robinson and Eric Winters.
Sort of I can see that with guys. New boy at nickel.
New boy at nickel.
Yep. I think that's going. Jaquez, of the transfers of the older guys that are. Or I guess the older guys in that safety room, I think he's probably the furthest along. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Tay Seymour and Jacoby Matthews. You just heard more about Jaquez here recently. Nickel, Sylvester Smith, Newboy Fagans, and then
KLF.
KLF looks good.
And I mean that is a deep, talented
best position group on the roster. And it makes sense. That is a group that over several different coaching staffs and several different types of program, they have had consistent recruiting, development, getting guys into the league. Auburn's been a place where secondaries have been really good. Kicker. So here's the thing with kicker right now is I think you are going to see two, maybe all three kickers at the start of the season. Alex McPherson, I just don't know what he's capable of.
His distance.
He's just lost a lot of weight.
As far as accuracy, I mean, I would think anything and, 40 –
Here's the thing with Alex McPherson, I think people need to keep in mind. This is not like a dude turned his ankle. this is something that could flare up. This is something that could give him problems. And you just have to play it by ear. And it's just it sucks. It's unfair to him. You hate to see him going through it, but like also like if it comes out at some point in the season where like Alex McPherson's unavailable, do not be surprised. That's just this is such uncharted territory for a guy dealing with that. Towns, I think, is going to be the kickoff guy. He just makes the most sense. He's got the strongest leg out of anybody on that in that crew. Maybe distance field goal guy if he can rein it, and then Connor Gibbs is going to be in the mix as well. I think they're just going to have to play that one out.
Yeah, I heard. Coach Freeze on Tiger Talk the other night just said that Alex and Towns are a little ahead.
Yep, and then that lines up with what we've seen. I would love to see Towns be able to get it back going again. But I think if Towns Magoo is just a kickoff guy for you, he's got tremendous value because he's got one of the strongest legs I've ever seen.
And again, how many times have we seen a freshman kicker or punter at Auburn who, you know, came in with some acclaim, didn't go
has a little bit of a struggle
up and down first season. John Vaughn had an up and down first season. Wes missed some kicks. It's not and these guys end their careers with high level play.
Hudson Cock, punter, John Allen McGuire behind him. I don't think there's any debate on that one.
No.
Kick return. I think Rayshon Pleasant's going to be your guy.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to see him be.
He's good.
Return a kick.
He's good. They've used Malcolm Simmons back there some. They've used
Cobb
Eric Singleton some. Cobb hasn't done
not
as much.
We heard more of it like beforehand, but it seems. Duke Smith.
Duke Smith.
We saw Duke with the twos out there earlier this week, Bill.
He was the deep guy.
Yeah, they had 10 and he's got again in on a less talented team. You'd be so excited about the acquisition of Duke Smith as a freshman. Yeah. The fact that
you bring in Duke Smith 2 or 3 years ago, he's a key receiver for Auburn right away.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Punt returner Eric Singleton or Malcolm. I think a healthy Singleton is the one they want back there more than anything else. And it makes sense. Dude is really, really sure-handed, veteran, and he accelerates better than anybody I've seen in an Auburn uniform in a while, which – They've talked about it. The priority is just catch the ball.
Yep.
Catch the ball first and foremost. But if you're thinking about maybe the handful of opportunities you may get throughout the season to actually do something with a punt, I don't think there's a better option on the team than Singleton.
No, I agree with you. So, I mean, there's not much difference at all in the depth charts. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We have calls holding. We'll be back. So stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes here on the Thursday Drive, and we got a full bank of calls, so let's get right to them. And Anthony is up first. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
I got two things. First thing, with this schedule going to 9 conference games next year, would that mean, you'd have to play some of these games on Friday night with a 9-game conference slate and then that big old power 10th game for a power game they want you to have? Or does that mean that?
No. I mean, it just means instead of the eight Saturdays that you're playing conference games, you got another Saturday where you're playing conference games. The SEC is not going to – I don't feel like I'm stepping out on too big of a limb. The SEC is not going to start playing games on Friday night.
No, they're wanting to keep it on Saturdays as much as possible. They even stopped doing Thursday night because
it's just going to eliminate some of those paycheck type games. It's going to eliminate some of those. The sad thing is, it could take away some of those opportunities to be playing. The in-state schools that could use that money.
Yeah,
that
I do.
Paycheck.
I do wonder to this point. I do wonder what you cut. Do you cut one of the G5 games that you play, or do you, like for this year? So Auburn's playing Ball State, South Alabama, and Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Which one comes on the
Ball State's one I'd cut.
What I would do.
I wonder what kind of appetite there is going to be for, especially as we mentioned with Marcelo, if some of this is about fans complaining about the quality of games. FCS opponents could be on the chopping block.
But I think if fans would tolerate some of those in-state games as opposed to Mercer or Ball State.
If this is about if this is about the quality of your product, the easiest games to chop off are the FCS games.
Time out. If we're going between Ball State and Mercer, you might as well play Mercer. In my opinion,
Ball State's one of the worst.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if it's coming down to this is a team that's from nowhere near here and they're terrible.
Yeah,
play an FCS team here.
That's what I'm saying. But I would guess in the aftermath of the SEC going
play North
to nine,
Alabama, play Sanford, play West Georgia, play those kind of teams before you sign up for another MAC or Mountain West.
I wonder if we could see fewer FCS teams on the schedule in the future.
Yeah.
Second thing, now if a coach had a 3-year plan to turn a team around, that mean now you need a 5-year plan?
I don't know. Now with transfer portal and NIL, I don't know that anybody's plan is going to be extended.
I don't know if anybody gets 5 years ever anywhere. I mean, maybe if you're showing up at the worst place in the power conference, you know, they'll be more patient with you, but pretty much everywhere, your team in year three, it's your team, and I think that's also true at Auburn. Like you can have a 5-year plan to turn last place into first place, but you don't get 5 years to become competitive pretty much anywhere. Good stuff, Anthony.
Appreciate the call, Anthony. I think we lost Brett. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. Love that we're going to a 9-game schedule. I'm assuming that you'll have like. Some years you'll have 5 conference games at home. Some you'll have 4. So
right.
I'm assuming they're gonna put a Power 5 home game in there.
They're gonna have a game where at halftime the teams get on planes, play at the other stadium.
That's exactly what they'll do with the mandate that you play another Power 4 school as your 10th game. That would be scheduled there as the end the year when you only got 4 conference home games.
It's going to be like Phil Collins at Live Aid, where they're going to play in the morning and then
like cross the Atlantic.
You start in Gainesville and finish in Austin, Texas that night.
Okay, well with Alabama and Georgia currently on the schedule, do you think they're going to try to split them up so they're not, you know, both away or both at home?
You would think at some point they need to do it.
You're going to still have to have back-to-back years at one of those places.
I think Auburn should just go ahead and play back-to-back at Georgia at some point. Just go ahead, rip the Band-Aid
off. That seemed so much more urgent to me when they were played at the end of the schedule.
It doesn't bother me as much anymore with Georgia being early and Alabama being late.
I thought that when you were playing, if you were gung-ho about finishing the season with Georgia and Alabama as the last 2 SEC games you play, then I do not think they should both be at home or both be on the road. If you're okay with opening with Georgia as far as your conference slate, if that game's early, I don't think it's nearly as important to move it off the schedule
If you do keep Georgia and Alabama both being either at home or on the road, I would sure hope that you've got them when you've got – you know, as far as selling season tickets, it'd be better to have them when you've got 4 home games.
Yep, absolutely.
To have Georgia and Alabama among your 4 home conference games.
And then maybe a heavy hitter or two at home when Georgia and Alabama are road games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And I know Skybar is having their 20th anniversary tonight, and Tex is going to be celebrating his 40th soon. Well, I had a 20th that just came. The wife and I on Tuesday celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
So we're halfway to Tex and Cindy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Justin, I think you just got married, right?
We got married the end of last June, so we're a little over a year now.
Okay. All right. Well, you got 19 to go, buddy. Hang in there.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. That's all I had.
I'm Mitch.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. You know, what do you? As he was talking, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, if you do keep Georgia and Alabama, where you're not having one at home, one on the road, I think don't you think it would be preferable to have them? They would almost balance your schedule when you're trying to sell season tickets if you had them.
I think it needs to happen.
4 home games.
I think it needs to happen. Yeah, I do think like if you're going to have years where you only have 4 home games, You need one of them to be Georgia or Alabama.
The alternative would be in the off year, like the other year, you got to you're going to have to really work hard to sell that home slate.
Oh, the other year, but I mean the thing is, in the other year, you're going to have five conference home games.
No. If
you're right.
If two of your five conference home games were Alabama and Georgia, then in the
that'd be really tough.
You worked in that really office, tough. Bill. Yeah, you did that job.
Tough enough. Look, Auburn sold out again. Auburn had announced today they sold out, and I am assuming that this means all right. Last year, the wasn't the capacity 88,043?
Yes.
And
yes. The answer.
It's been announced that Auburn has sold 83,043. Season tickets to the public and students. What that means is there's 5,000 tickets left for the visitors. So I saw somebody asking today, hey, did we cut back on tickets for Alabama and Georgia? Well, the answer would appear to be yes. And it makes sense because they've been doing it. Those schools have done it to Auburn and to everybody else. Everybody has cut back on the number of tickets available for visitors.
You can sell them. I mean, it's not like you're donating those tickets.
No.
But is it?
But you can't. But they're not. But you can't sell those that have been allotted to the visiting schools as part of your season tickets.
Right. And I wonder is that conference mandated or is that program to program as far as how many seats the visitors get and that sort of thing.
That's a very good question now because it used to be school by school.
Yeah. And I wonder.
And Auburn allotted more tickets to Alabama and Georgia. Then some other schools did, and other schools did to Auburn, and then Auburn started getting the short end of some of those. Auburn, LSU, it got to LSU wasn't giving Auburn as many tickets as Auburn gave LSU, and then LSU was putting Auburn fans on the bottom rows and the top rows of the stadium.
If you allot tickets that are not sold by that program, do they give them back? Do you take a bath on that?
Then they will come back. Generally, well, I mean, schools usually guarantee that they're going to buy. I don't know if Vandy guarantees they're going to buy 5,000. If they don't, then those come back and those tickets are sold separately. Mm-hmm. That's when you'll see there are individual game tickets for sale.
But no, so
but you don't see Auburn offering individual game tickets to Georgia and Alabama.
And you just mentioned doing the math on Auburn has sold all but 5,000 seats in the stadium, and the rest of those are for visiting fan base. Yeah,
I just wondered. I mean, I wasn't sure if the exact total number of seats changed after the reconfiguration of the north end zone. So
put some on top of the new screen. Maybe, fine.
My goodness, that's high. That is up there. I guess we ought to get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in as we continue with.
When we come back, we'll talk about some stuff going on this week.
We'll remind you, where we will be tomorrow.
Email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the Thursday Drive with Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Tomorrow, a special edition of the Drive, as well as on the line, as we'll be coming to you live from Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn, just across from the mall. Stop by and check out the brand new hunting and outdoor store, and as they get ready for their grand opening all weekend long. So. That is tomorrow at Winter Timber Outdoors.
Also want to give another congratulations to our pals at Sky Bar. 20th anniversary festivities tonight, and they'll be going all weekend long. But 20 years of Sky Bar in downtown Auburn. Again, they'll be opening they'll be opening the doors again pretty soon tonight, and the first 250 get free 20th anniversary T-shirts. You're not going to want to miss all the stuff going on at Skyboard tonight.
And then don't forget, coming up at 7 o'clock tonight on WANI, candidates forum for the City of Opelika elections. Ben Taylor going to be moderating that. So that's coming up from 7 till 9 tonight over on WANI.
Yeah, we'll see if the Skybar guys will put that on the speakers there for the 20th anniversary party. So let folks tailgate for the
Hurt things got a little hot last time. So.
it's
Sky Bar or no Blake.
I'm going to leave it right there.
And okay. The doors at 7 for Sky Bar, by the way, for the t-shirts. So I appreciate all the support those guys have shown the show over the years.
All right, again, next week Justin will be where will you be on Thursday? I will be
in Texas.
There?
We're flying out for Thursday morning.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah. we'll see if we can get Justin on for a while. Next Thursday, we'll get Dan will be out in Texas as well, so we'll have.
By law, Dan and I have to travel separately.
That's right. Yeah,
I understand
due to that one Delta flight.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the no fly list, so I gotta hop the train.
Yep. So let everybody know what's going on and how they can get the Observer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying you already had. You had somebody take advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Earlier? As somebody who is listening to the show, an Auburn freshman who is listening to this show, I hope your demographics, who's listening to the show and emailed in. So, yeah, if you're an Auburn freshman, if you just started this week, or if you know an Auburn freshman, you can get a year of the Observer absolutely free. We have folks who have paid for subscriptions for freshmen coming in. We've done this for a couple years now. It's really, really cool. But, yeah, depth chart projections up today. Big mailbag tomorrow. Got a couple fun podcasts this weekend coming up. We've got our Grubserver annual awards that we're doing. And tomorrow, Dan and I are talking to Jay Busby, who just wrote a book on the Iron Bowl that is really, really good. And we're going to talk to him about his book. I've read it a few times now. I helped out in the research process for it, so it's a really, really good time. So we're gonna have that drop this weekend as well. All the practice stuff from earlier this week, and then all the game week coverage. AuburnObserver.com. $4 a month or $40 a year. It's your best deal, and we're gonna run that until game day. So get on board.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a great deal. All right, so we'll talk to Justin next week. Dan and I tomorrow with you from Coach Don Dunn. Now, he better be there. We're expecting him with us tomorrow at Winter Timber Outdoors.
And we haven't talked about it too much, but, I mean, Auburn's – it's not a scrimmage tomorrow, but you got sort of
They've got like a game day walkthrough.
Yeah, the dress rehearsal. And we'll talk to Coach Dunn about the sort of stuff that a team would want to accomplish in a game like that or a practice environment like that with just a – hard to believe – just a week before Auburn and Baylor in Waco.
And it's high school football just about everywhere tomorrow night, so – should be a fun show. It was a good one today. We appreciate all of our callers and listeners, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Stop by and see us if you get a chance at Winter Timber Outdoors. That's going to do it for the Thursday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.